Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Built Brave. I'm so excited you guys are here. It's the last Thursday of February, and it's a leap year slash leap month, which means, 29 days of February, which somehow feels like a lifetime, that extra day. And then it's March. Where is the year going? It felt like January took 1,000 years to get through, and February happened in a blink of an eye. Anyone else feeling me on that one? I'd say raise your hand, but I won't be able to see you. Raise your hand in your car anyway, or do like a whoop whoop. Anyway, today's guest, I am excited to have on to have a conversation about chronic illness. I myself do not suffer from a chronic illness, but I grew up with my father having a chronic illness. And I know the challenges I went through and still go through to this day as being a child of someone who has a chronic illness. So I'm not going to even pretend to know what someone who does have a chronic illness goes through. But Evie does do a wonderful explanation of what happened when she developed her chronic illness. And how it turned her life upside down and how that's affected her, humbled her, but yet she is still thriving. She has her own business. She created a women's group. She's doing so many different things and is wanting to make positive impact in the world. And she's not alone because there are other people out there who do have chronic illnesses, who are living with it every day. Just because you look at them doesn't mean that they might not have a chronic illness. And a chronic illness can be anything from an autoimmune disease to like a mental health. And you can't always tell someone has something because they all look normal. Like if you would meet Evie, I love her to death. If you would meet her and look at her, you wouldn't think anything of it until you hear her story. And that just goes to an important note that everyone is fighting a battle we don't always see. Everyone is fighting a battle we don't always see, so maybe we should just give them some grace, the benefit of the doubt. Now, I'm not saying it's a hall pass if someone was being a jerk to you. Well, someone's being a jerk to you. Yes, hurt people, but you do get to have boundary lines and honor those boundary lines. And with that, let us begin. Hello, everyone. So I am excited for this week's guest, Evie Burt. And yeah, she's just such an amazing human. So I'll let her go ahead and do her little elevator speech. Evie, take it away.
Hey, y'all. So like Lo said, my name is Evie. Sorry, my voice is a little bit hoarse. But so I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. So I started logging about almost 2 years ago now, which it doesn't seem like that long. And then about a year ago, I started my social media management business, and I work as a social media manager and an influencer coach, and that is my job. I'm a freelancer. And then last spring, I started the Philly Women's Collective, which used to be called Philly Female Creatives. And it is a collaborative networking organization for women in the Philadelphia area to come together both online and through our events to just meet up and support each other, support our ventures. And it's been really successful so far. And I am blown away by how much it's grown. We have almost 700 members now, which is like crazy to me.
That's amazing in such a short period of time. So it's like you found something that was needed in the market.
Yeah, I actually started it because I didn't know any other freelancers for bloggers, and I was super lonely because none of my friends got it, and I thought I was going to meet like a group of like 10 people that I might be able to go out to lunch with and talk about, and it definitely grew way more than I was planning on it, and I love every minute of it.
Yeah. So can you speak into that, like seeking, wanting to create in a group of things because your current friends weren't getting what you were doing?
Yeah. So I absolutely love my friends, but they went to college for careers that have more traditional paths. A lot of my friends are teachers now. So you pretty much, you go to college to become a teacher, you student teach, you go work in a school, you might be a substitute for a while, or teach in a different capacity, but there's kind of a structured way of going into that. And I majored in philosophy, women's studies, and I minored in art. So there is no structure. There is no set career path. And I was going to go to grad school, but that's expensive. And I was working a job that I hated, and I really loved what I was doing on social media. And then I started getting people reaching out to me to help them with theirs, and I started my own freelancing business, and that's definitely not what my plan was, but that's what happened. And my friends are supportive, but they still don't understand exactly what my day-to-day is like, or why when we go out to dinner, I have to take 20 minutes away to post something for a client or do something like that. And it's nice to have a community of people that also understands how it is to be a creative entrepreneur.
That speaks volumes. Cause I know when we first met, we were having conversations and you said that a lot when I was just like, oh yeah, sure. Let's you take a picture or whatever. Not a big deal. Or like do some poses here. It's fine. And it was like a breath of fresh air, but it's true. It's people who are doing the traditional route, they don't necessarily understand like what you're doing as a creative either. So that's really, can be it's lonely.
Nice to have a space to turn to and a group of people to turn to, especially like when you just want to be yourself and do those things. Like I have no shame in walking down the street in Philadelphia and snapping a pic for my Instagram. Like I make money off my Instagram. So if I'm getting paid to take a picture, I don't care if I look stupid standing in the middle of the street to take a picture, I'm getting paid for it. So, and it's also like, it's fun and I enjoy it, even if I'm doing something silly or like having a full-on photo shoot. Like I enjoy that. And like some of my friends can't really relate to that.
Right.
There's something a group of new friends that ask me to go out with them and we take pictures for each other.
Right. And there's also something addicting to having your pictures taken and then like taking your pictures too. It's just like, oh, I want to get them professionally done. I don't care if it's going to cost me what, $150 for an hour. I'll do it because then like the photos will be great and I'll have content to create, where other people are like, you do that by yourself? Like, really?
I love a good photo shoot.
I think it's so much fun, and it's just, it's, there's some like empowering in it as well. Like definitely in the beginning, my first couple, I was just like, ooh, a little awkward, a little weird, not as loose. And now I'm just like, almost every time I have a photo shoot, whether I am on my phone or having it with someone, like there's this space I make, I always have my mouth open, and I'm just like, really, like that's what I go to like relax my face, is have my mouth open like wide, being like that surprised look, and I'm like, okay, all right.
You just gotta find what works for you. Yeah. I always feel really confident when I leave a shoot though, like I don't know why, it's just like it's a different way of being creative, like I always feel good about myself, and then I get the pictures back and I'm like, wow, like I did that, like, because that used to be something that was so out of my comfort zone, and like now I'm so surprised with myself because it's somewhere that I feel really comfortable.
Well, and it's also, you get to see yourself in a different light. Like I know you and I have both done a boudoir shoot, and that like I am such an advocate for women doing that and not doing it because they have a boyfriend or a partner and they want to do it. Like, do it for yourself, because I know my pictures, I'm like, God, I love those pictures so much.
Not to sound narcissistic, but I just did my first one in December, and I've actually done another one since then. And I literally can't stop looking at the pictures.
It's one of mine is my background. Like, I will never share on social media or share with anyone because it's like one of those I want to keep for myself. And I'm just like, oh my God, I love it so much. I could stare at it all day and be like, whoa, that's me.
Yeah. And I also like my first one, my photographer, she does weddings and she wanted to try something new that she could offer to some of her clients. And I'd never done a shoot before. So it was like the first time for both of us. And I think that we kind of both left that shoot feeling really good about what came of it, which I think was really cool because we both got to try something new in a safe environment and kind of like experiment with that. And luckily it turned out really well, but that was a really like unique experience.
Mm-hmm. And there's something powerful in it when you know both of you are doing it for the first time. Like, say if it was an experienced photographer, it's still a little intimidating because you're like, they have this background and this may be your first shoot. Taking the boudoir out of it, it could be even like you're just creating content and it could be your third shoot and can still be a little intimidated by it. But yeah.
It's definitely something I think everybody should try.
Oh my God, yes. I showed those pictures to all of my girlfriends, none of my male friends at all. And I also did it in front of my male friends being like, no, 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 boo, boo. You can't see these, but you can tell they're really awesome because all the other women are like, oh my God. But yes, no, I was telling them like, do it. Again, confidence building.
Even just the shoot itself, like even if you didn't get the pictures at all, mm-hmm. it's still a huge confidence boost.
Right. So I'm actually intending to plan like a naked one in December because that's when I turn 30. And I think that would be fun. And, you know, by then I'd have like all of my health goals or most of my health goals met by then. I'm like, that would be just something different, even though I'm like,
celebrate too.
Oh my God. Yeah. It'd be so much fun. But I want to switch gears back into your accidental entrepreneuring. And for someone who says they are creative and they're wanting to start, whether it is a blog or posting more on social media, what tips or tricks would you give them in the beginning? Because it can be overwhelming as well, because there's so much information out there.
So I think it's never not going to be overwhelming. And somebody actually gave me this advice a couple months ago. And they said that you're never going to be ready to jump into something. Like, there's always going to be a reason not to do it. So even if it seems like a bad time, you just got to do it. Like, I have a bunch of chronic illnesses and have been dealing with my health for probably like 3 years now, since I graduated college. So for me, like, Instagram was something I could do from my bed. Like, blogging was something I can do from my bed. And that's not the ideal time to start. Like, everybody looks like they're putting their best foot forward and showing their most, like, ideal life on Instagram. And I'm, like, stuck in bed. But it was something fun for me. I didn't think it was going to turn into a job. So making sure that you're doing it because you enjoy it and it's because it's something you want to do and go into it because it's something you're passionate about. Like, if you want to start a business, nobody makes money when they first start a business, no matter what kind of business it is. So like, go into it knowing that it's for you. It's something that you're doing as a creative outlet. Obviously, like, look into monetizing things and seek out mentors that have experienced it. That's definitely something I've been drawn to, especially recently. Like, people who are successful in what you do, instead of being jealous of them, which I think is something a lot of people fall into with things like blogging and social media, is like that like envy or like disliking people because they're more successful than you. And I hear it all the time. But like, most of those people are more than happy to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So like, reach out to them, ask them for their advice, because they all start in the exact same place as you are.
Well, exactly. Everyone started from zero. And then something I've learned from prior mentors in my life with the whole jealousy thing is like, that's showing you what you want. So then instead of going down and being low vibe and, you know, being in that jealous realm, it's like, oh, the universe is showing you this person to show you what's possible and be like, oh, that's actually what I want. That's something I want. Instead of being like, oh, that person.
I think of it as like changing your jealousy into inspiration. Mm-hmm. So like if you see somebody doing something that you want to do, like I really used to want to be a travel blogger, which is actually how I started my account. And now I do like Philly lifestyle type stuff. But I used to look at these travel bloggers that had like hundreds of thousands of followers and spent their lives traveling all around the world and all of that. And I used to be jealous of it. And I was like, wait, like I've traveled all over the world. I've done a lot of the same stuff they have. I don't know why. I just didn't take pictures of it. And there's no point in being jealous. Like I'm inspired by them now, like looking through them and planning new adventures for myself and setting goals to aspire to.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what you should do too. I also wanted to touch back on the point of like when starting the blog and starting a business that you really have to do it for you and focus on that it's fun for you. It goes back to the whole reason why I started this podcast as a creative outlet. And then I have people ask me, well, are you going to monetize it? Yes, I will eventually monetize it so it can be self-sustaining, but I don't want to monetize it to start like lining my pockets because I don't want that pressure of it to pay my bills to get it low. I got to find a sponsor. I want to be like, oh, I don't care if there's a sponsor or not this week. It's going up.
Yeah, I definitely think I've never really started anything that wasn't for me in some capacity. And I think that that's why I enjoy what I do so much. Mm-hmm. Like my Instagram, I started it just to share stories about traveling. And my pictures are, if you scroll all the way down to my Instagram, oh my gosh, some of those pictures are so embarrassing. And that's even after I deleted all of my pictures from like high school and redid it. And it's still embarrassing. But there's still memories and there's still stories I had to share. Mm-hmm. And like I did that because I enjoyed sharing those things, not because I wanted followers or I wanted to make money. And then slowly those things just kind of came. And also being sick, I don't travel as much. So I kind of shifted gears to do things that were more local to me. And especially with what I do with my networking group, those things that I talk about now are a lot more relevant to the people that I'm closely connected to.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of like pivoting with stuff going on and being relatable. I don't think everyone should have all of these perfect pictures all the time. I know I get into the thing about making my feed look, you know, super curated when I get to the point I'm like, no, that's not how life is. And I even get frustrated with people who are always putting on the happy face where I'm like, can you just be real for a second and be like, past few weeks have been shitty for me and I've tried and I'm there with you, instead of being like, oh, it's bubblegum and rainbows. And then even for me, it's kind of like a delicate balance of that because I don't want to be like a negative Nancy all the time. But I'm also like, can we just be real for a sec? Like we all know there's a lot of curation going on. Even when I'm being real about what's going on, like not giving you specifics, but I'm also being like, you know, sometimes life can be shitty.
Yeah, I definitely fall into the, like making things look curated. But I also like, I pop on my stories and talk when I'm sick in bed, and mm-hmm. I use my captions to share a lot of stories. So I actually like, my picture might look perfect, but my story, well, actually, I don't think there's any such thing as perfect, but are the captions that I share, I try and be really authentic in them. Mm-hmm. And I like reading that in people's, like, you might have a great professional photo up, but you don't know what that person is using that photo to say.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly true. And that's where I also say, like, stories, they get to be, like, your everyday, like, messy life that's going on. So it doesn't need to be as curated, quote, unquote. But I'm still, like, okay, I love all of these beautiful pictures, but can you have one that looks like it was taken on your iPhone last minute without any makeup on? You're like, whatever.
Yeah, I rarely wear makeup unless I'm going out, which I think that's why I look like I wear makeup in all my pictures, because I mostly take them when I'm like out.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like out of the house. I don't wear makeup most days, but like when I'm going out to like an event or to have a photo shoot or something like that. And I'm also like, I'm very artsy. I've always been very creative. So I hate wearing makeup, but I really like doing my makeup.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So I'll like sit there and put my makeup on just for fun and then I'll wash it off because I don't like wearing it. But I love like putting it on and just being, taking pictures just to be like, oh, I did this. Like,
mm-hmm. So you create a memory and having fun with it. So yeah, there's no problem with that or issues with that. I think that's a, like a lot of those makeup artists who create those videos. I'm like, I'm presuming you're just doing it to make the video and then it comes off.
Yeah. But it's definitely, I think social media should just be fun and it's a good way to get creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like something I've been doing recently is I do influencer marketing. I don't like the word influencer, but
is there a better word for that though?
Like a digital creator or a content creator.
Okay. Yeah.
I think influencer carries some kind of like negative
kind right. of negative connotation. Cause
and I just never really connected with the word influencer. So like, even though I guess I would fall into that category, but working with brands that I only work with brands that I love, but working with brands that are kind of interesting to shoot content for. So like I'm doing an ad right now for like DiGiorno pizza. And like, for me, that's like it's a creative problem solving, like coming up with a fun way to shoot those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's still fun, even if it's kind of work. Mm-hmm. Like I love the whole creative process of coming up with a concept for a photo shoot and doing those types of things. And that's something that I've really like come to enjoy that I didn't think I would ever be doing.
Well, that's also good for the listeners too, is just like sometimes you accidentally stumble into something that you enjoy and never had an idea that you were going to enjoy it. You just decided to start a thing and see what happens.
Yeah, just go with the flow and see what happens. I never really go into anything like expecting things. I just kind of like go for it and see what happens.
That's a great way to be.
My business that way, then I have a strategy, but I'm very low key.
Yeah, I think with the business, you do have to have some sort of strategy on that one.
That part's like important to be planned out and strategized and stuff like that. But with my social media, even though that is like my personal brand and even the Philly Women's Collective, I think that those things like constantly evolve and change, and they can change more organically than a business where you have clients and people that you're working with. So it's not just you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you mentioned having chronic illnesses and you've been dealing with that for the past 3 years. Can you share your story?
Yeah. So going all the way back to when I was like 20, I got mono in college really severely. I was sick for 5 or 6 months. I barely made it through the fall semester of school. I actually still don't know how I made it. But I was really sick from that. And then I slowly started to recover. And I was never really like completely the same after that. But senior year of college, right before I graduated, I started getting really sick. I was really tired. I started having a lot of like chronic pain and muscular problems. And like, even like things like walking to class started getting really hard and I didn't know why. And I had all these tests done and they were like, oh, nothing's wrong. You're probably just stressed out and tired. Like senior year college student figuring things out. And so I kind of like brushed it off for months. And then after graduation, I got my first job and progressively my hours started getting longer and the job just started kind of taking a toll on me. And when I was sick, I wasn't really able to take any time off. So I started noticing how those things were negatively impacting my health. and other symptoms were showing up and no one could figure out what they were. Since then I've probably been to like, I don't know, over a dozen doctors and had any test imaginable. I've tried every holistic approach. So like since then, it's just kind of been steadily bad. Like it doesn't get better. It doesn't necessarily get worse, but it definitely shook up what I thought I was going to be doing after college. Like I planned to work in this doctor's office for a year to save up money and then start grad school, which would have been this past September. And clearly that didn't happen. So I quit my job after about 6 months, took some time off, and then started doing my accidental entrepreneuring. But it's still something that I deal with every single day, that it presents a lot of challenges just for pretty much anything, because I don't know how I'm going to wake up and feel in the morning. So it's really hard to keep a schedule and to make plans and to just like live a regular life when you don't know if you're going to feel okay to get out of bed in the morning, or if you're going to have a migraine, or if you're going to pass out a couple times that day, or whatever unexpected happens. And I still don't have, well, any kind of diagnosis, really. I have a bunch of different issues. And because I'm young, they have a really hard time diagnosing illnesses. So like a lot of autoimmune diseases, you develop symptoms before you develop markers for it in your blood. Especially if it's something that you've kind of grown into or developed over time. Or some of them just don't show up in your blood work. So you get this like long diagnostic process where you have all these symptoms that could be attributed to any number of different causes. And it's also kind of frustrating because you're going to all these professionals and they just don't give you any answers.
Yeah, definitely like living on the unknown is a super challenge. Like, I personally haven't gone through what you're going through, but my father, he's had fibromyalgia for the past like 21 years. So definitely have like been like seen what that process looks like and how it shifts and changes a person, especially like the frustration.
It's very frustrating. And also like the way that we do medicine here is just like, they throw pills at you like it's crazy. So then you get all these medications and then you have these different side effects, and that changes the way that you function as well. So every time you see a new doctor, they try and give you a new treatment or a new medication, and you kind of have to like reevaluate your routine from there based on how you're feeling from that treatment and things like that. So it's constantly changing. I'm kind of on a hiatus from seeing doctors right now. Just because they weren't making it better and I'm not getting worse. So I'm taking a break from dealing with that and really trying to get in a better headspace before I go on to another round of opinions.
Right, which is okay to do as well. So it's very similar to like someone who is like, say they're going through a life transition and they don't know, but they keep seeking out answers and answers and still get to the same frustrated point of view. Like, I have no answers. It's not making it better. It's not making it worse. Like, I need to take a minute. And that's something that's really important for anyone to do, whether they have a chronic illness or not, is when you feel like you're on this hamster wheel and your intuition's like, I need a break. Take the break.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also like, they would have said something if it was life-threatening or anything like that.
Right. So
what I have is just something that I'm going to struggle with, whether I'm seeing doctors or not. And I think if I can go back in with a clear mind and a clear goal and be able to assert myself better with my doctors, that I'm more likely to find at least some answers or get a step towards finding those answers that I'm looking for.
Right. And that's a good caveat to say to the medicine police on here who are just like, no, you should keep going. I'm like, no, sometimes you can't. Sometimes the person is like, I can't take this drug because I don't like the side effect of it.
And that's also something that's very frustrating is people throw their two cents in on everything. So, like, you say you're sick, and the amount of people that have told me to try yoga, like, I love yoga. I do yoga. But, like, that doesn't cure you,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have something chronically wrong with you. It's just very much, like, I appreciate your support, but I don't need an answer
mm-hmm.
or a suggestion for everything. But that's also, I think, in the past couple of months, I've also found a really supportive community of people, specifically local women, that are also dealing with chronic illnesses, like totally different illnesses. And that's been really awesome for me too, because they kind of relate to what you're going through, even if it's not on the same level or you're not going through the exact same thing. They kind of understand some of the same struggles and things like that, and that's been really significant for me.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to, like, at any stage of your life, whatever you're going through, is to find someone who's going through or who have gone through it in a different variation in their own way. It creates that, like, camaraderie, and then you don't actually feel alone.
Yeah, and it's definitely, it's one of those things that people who, if you don't know someone with a chronic illness or if you don't have something like that yourself, you don't really know how to handle it or approach it. And, like, some weeks I'm totally fine. So some weeks you might see me at an event, or you might see me dancing at the bar with my friends. Like, I'm 23, I'll go out and have fun if I'm feeling okay. But that doesn't mean that I'm still not dealing with those things. It's kind of nice having a group of people that aren't going to judge you for doing that, instead of some people that will point out, well, you must not be sick because I saw you out last weekend or something like that.
Right. And it's hard to be sick like this and not have any, like, outward appearance at all. Like, when you're sick and have a fever and you're at home, maybe you have a red nose and you're throwing up or something. But here you just look like a normal person, and internally there's stuff going on, but it doesn't show outside. So people don't actually really, like, understand it, which can be frustrating for you. And I know, like, as being a person who's had to live with someone who's had that, like, it's also frustrating at times to be like, well, people don't understand. And you could be like, go to them, like, imagine you stub your toe. Within, like, what, 5 minutes, your toe is feeling better. Imagine it not being better, and 3 days later, you're still feeling the effects of stubbing your toe.
Yeah, definitely the not being able to see it is very frustrating, especially because I do live my life pretty publicly, or I do mm-hmm. share a lot of my life. So, yeah, I am posting pictures. Yeah, I am going to different influencer events. I am going to different conferences, and I'm traveling, and I'm doing those things, but I don't think people get the full picture when you do that, because you might see me out at an event, and I might be fine, but leading up to that event, I had to stay in bed all day, so I had the energy to get up, get dressed, go to that event, make it through that event, and the whole next day, I'm going to be in bed because I did that. Like, I went out for 2 hours that night to go talk to people and promote my business.
Right. And that's something that, you know, people need to understand is, like, you don't always know what's going on with that person. Just because they have a news feed, maybe they're sharing some stuff that's up for them, you don't actually know what's going on. And you shouldn't be so quick to judge, to be like, you're seeing a sliver of their life. Like, I'm seeing a sliver of your life.
And also, even if you are very close to that person, like, I mean, I have family members that don't get it, and I see them mm-hmm. constantly. or you go out and do something or you go on vacation, so you're automatically better. But it doesn't work like that. So even just like, just because you're sick doesn't mean you don't have a life.
Oh, preach that.
Like, yeah, I'm sick. And yeah, okay, if I'm going to an event, I'm in pain 24 hours a day. But if I want to go out to dinner with my friends, I'm still going to go out to dinner with my friends. I'm going to be in pain at home versus being in pain out with my friends. At least I can have a little bit of fun.
Right. And take your mind off things just for a little bit. I mean, I can definitely say, like, being a family member as well, I'd get frustrated with my dad and be like, I'm not understanding because I'm not going through it.
And I totally get that, like, with my family and my boyfriend, especially because he's, like, closest to me. And he's, like, obviously the most supportive person I could ever imagine to have in my life. But some of my other close family members just aren't as understanding with it. And I get that. Like, if you're not going through it, and then also if you do see me being okay, I get it. But then it's still frustrating for me.
Right. Exactly. So how has these chronic illnesses changed your relationships and affected them?
They've changed things a lot. They definitely affect how I make plans with people. I cancel plans a lot. Like if I make plans or commit to something like a month ahead of time, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. So like, that's always stressful. And fortunately, I've began to surround myself with a really great group of people that are very supportive of that. And they might not fully get everything, but they're very understanding when I do have to cancel things. But that's not always been the case. And that has led me to leave some of my friendships or kind of step back from them. Because I'm not gonna deal with that too. With my family, I actually moved back home after college because I wasn't working. And even now as a small business owner, I'm obviously not wealthy. So like saving up money and trying to move out, and my boyfriend moved in with us, which that's a lot to ask him to move in with me and my amazingly crazy family. I love my family, but we can be a lot sometimes, mm-hmm. for sure. A nice loud Italian family. So you don't always know what you're walking into. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely changed. That wasn't where we expected to be at this point, living here with my family, but we're very thankful for it, definitely. But it's also kind of changed my relationship with him too, because this isn't something like, I didn't have any of these problems at the beginning of our relationship. They've kind of developed over the last few years. So he's watched me go through everything, which like really isn't easy for him. And I feel a lot of guilt for that. 'Cause he chooses to be around me and he chooses to be with me and to love me. And that's his choice. And I'm very thankful that he chooses to be with me. But I think it's definitely not where we expected to be. So that definitely makes things hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also challenges that a lot of our friends in relationships can't relate to. So it's kind of, because we have a lot of other couples that we hang out with and stuff, and it's not really something that they can relate to or people our age relate to as much. So for us, that's kind of, I feel like we always have to leave parties early or stay in a night, or I get really tired sometimes and I'll be at a friend's house and I'll just fall asleep on the couch. Like everybody will be staying up, like watching a movie or playing games or something, and I'll just be like asleep on the couch because I'm absolutely exhausted. And it's just kind of interesting navigating those relationships, especially newer friendships and relationships where you don't know how people are going to handle those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot, especially in a romantic partnership. And I'd say, I don't think you should feel guilty, because it's not like you actively chose this. It's not like you went out and decided to be quote unquote malicious, but it's still, yeah. Ah, you started dating me and now I'm going to get sick. So you have to deal with it.
No, I know it's not my fault, of course. And I have no control over it. And obviously, like, I don't want to be sick. So if I could not be sick, that would be mm-hmm. the ideal option. But I do feel bad sometimes about it.
Right. I mean,
logically, I know I shouldn't, but I feel like it's just one of those things that at the end of the day, you can't control, or like your feelings, you just feel what you feel.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's heightened for women, because we're always like guilty for feeling guilty about being guilty, or like stating yes. what we want. For me, I don't resonate with the guilty. I resonate with that I'm angry at you, but then I'm angry at myself for being angry at you because I had this expectation that wasn't, yeah, it's a complicated mess.
Both of them. I do that too. So trouble over here.
Yeah. But yeah. So how can someone support you? What would that look like? Say if the new friendship, or someone has just meets a friend and they say they have some chronic illness or whatever it would be, what it is like the best advice you could give them to support you?
For me, I know when I ask for support, I don't like being judged. I don't need a I don't need your advice on everything. Like, if I'm mad about having a flare up or something, I'm going to be mad about it. Like, I don't need you to give me a suggestion. I just need you to let me vent about having to skip something that I was looking forward to because I'm sick in bed. I don't need you. And most of my friends now know that, mm-hmm. especially like if you do have a chronic illness and you are looking for support and you're having struggles, or if you're struggling to find people that support you in the ways that you want them to, I highly recommend having a conversation with them. Because especially if you're on the younger side, a lot of younger people don't know folks with chronic illnesses. So advocating for yourself and being like, hey, I'm having a bad day. I just want to vent. I don't need you to fix it. I don't need your advice. I just need to vent to you and acknowledge that you heard me.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning when to ask for help. I'm a very stubborn and independent person. Very stubborn and very independent. And that, especially with my health, gets me into a lot of trouble, because I think I can take on the world and I can't. And I know that I can't, but I still am going to try anyways. But asking for help when you can't do those things, and knowing when to ask for help and not waiting too long, because I think that when you wait too long, that's when you kind of like surprise people, and that's where things kind of go awry.
Oh my gosh. Like, you're speaking so many things that is a great takeaway for anyone who's, whether they're dealing with a chronic illness or not, like advocating for yourself, having a conversation with the person. Like, most recently that something resonated for me, I don't know if it was a podcast or whatever, but someone said like, give the person an opportunity to say no. So how many times do you not like ask like for support or want to generate ideas, but you don't go to the person your intuition is telling you because you've already decided that they're going to say no, which maybe that's not the case.
And also, like, if you don't have a chronic illness, I guarantee you that you know somebody that does, whether mm-hmm. or not it's a visible illness or an invisible one. Most of the time you can't see when people are sick.
Well, exactly. I had a
definitely be
yeah, go ahead.
About that, and ask people what they need from you.
Oh, so much good, like with relationships.
You can do that anyways, in mm-hmm. any relationship with anyone that you meet, if you're friends with somebody or in a relationship or in your family, ask them what they need from you. That's just a good life skill.
Yes, it very much so is. But like I had a podcast interview dropped last week with Casey, and she was discussing having endometriosis, and like you can't see that either visibly on a person unless they talk about it and are like, I'm going through this. And then you put it out there and it's easier for people to understand and bring people in to make you not feel so alone either. So it's just an important like communication tool for like anything, any conversation with anyone.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, just being aware of that. And even if you don't know it, you know someone that's sick. So that's definitely something that I advocate for. I started hosting events around chronic illness, and most of the people that we're talking to don't have chronic illnesses, but it's important for those people to hear our stories too, and to kind of understand that and be able to have a conversation about it as well.
Exactly. It is 100% important for them to like know what's out there, like what other people are facing and how they could support you, whether or not realizing it or not. And I have noticed with different people that I followed, or even like this conversation, just because you have a chronic illness, it doesn't mean you're not human. It's just the chronic illness is highlighting more and more the importance of different lessons that we are taught. It's just if you don't go through it, you don't sometimes don't ingrain that lesson or that concept in, unless when it happens to you or something happens that it just clicks.
Yeah, definitely. And something, so I hosted an event in like October, November called Chronic and Iconic. Mm-hmm. And it was all about iconic women that were based in the Philly area with chronic illnesses. And we had two panels. One was women with chronic illnesses, and then the second was female professionals in the health and wellness field. Some of them had chronic illnesses and some of them didn't, but they work with folks that have chronic illnesses. And one of the biggest feedbacks that I got from our audience is they didn't know people that were sick and dealt with those things could do everything that the women on those panels said that they were doing.
Which was crazy. See it. Right, because they don't see it.
Yeah, so like women running their own business, women working in law offices, going to law school, women that are students dealing with really severe illnesses, just like all these different things, different types of illnesses too. So some of them were mental health issues, and then some of them were different physical illnesses. And that was just something that it didn't really hit me until I got that feedback from other people, that people were actually surprised that these women could run their own businesses and could do all of these, even just like traditionally successful mm-hmm. Things.
Right. And it's so interesting because they don't see it. And I know, like, you know, I went to law school and there are different avenues that you can take with your legal degree. And I have learned about other people doing things in the traditional role of an attorney. But then it's like we don't see it because no one really talks about it, because there's this whole shame aspect about it. So like just because you went to law school, you don't want to be an attorney, there's shame around it. Just like I'm presuming with a chronic illness, you have some shame about it, like you have like or guilt that you have this. So it's hard for you to talk about it to other people or bring awareness to other people because of things that come up, like their responses and all of that.
I also think something I personally struggle with a lot, and I know a lot of other people, specifically women, do, is like imposter syndrome. And I know that you mm-hmm. hear about that a lot in the professional world, which ironically, I don't really feel that with my professional life. But with being sick, I constantly find myself being like, well, I can't advocate for this because I'm not sick enough. I can't do this because I don't have a diagnosis and I don't know what's wrong with me. And that's something I'm really working on overcoming still.
That's so interesting that you bring that up. Like, you could have imposter syndrome in different areas of your life, not just specifically business or career, like everyone talks about. Like, you're wanting to advocate more for chronic illnesses, but then you're caught in this loop of comparing yourself and being like, oh no, I can't do that because I haven't hit whatever benchmark, when you're probably one of the best people to do that. And especially for people who don't know what they are going through, I think that would be extremely helpful and supportive for them in creating a deeper community, is for people being like, oh, you don't know what's wrong with you, me either.
I also think with imposter syndrome in this context, it's so different because when you have it in a professional world, there's more of a set expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a career path, whether it's as a blogger with followers or as a freelancer with your client list or as a lawyer, like going through different steps of a career. Not that everything is exactly the same, mm-hmm. or that those steps are clearly mapped out for anybody, but there's a lot more things that are set with those. And when you have an illness, illnesses look different to everybody. Like, everybody that has fibromyalgia, for example, or lupus, or cancer, or literally anything, every single person that has that experiences that illness completely differently. So there might be hundreds of thousands of people in the world with the same diagnosis as you, but it doesn't look the same in any of those people. So there really is no way to tell if you are sick enough to talk about it. But I know I still feel that way, and I have talked to so many other people that feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Well, if you ever want a pep talk about it, whenever you decide to do another chronic and iconic event or whatever, you have my number.
Yeah, we're turning it into a series. So more to come this spring.
Which is exciting. So before I get into the final questions, is there anything else you think should be important to say or whatever, or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's cool.
No, I think I covered it all. I talked a lot.
Are you sure? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. One thing I did want to say as well for people is like showing compassion. So when, say, you have to cancel an event last minute or cancel, you know, an interview or whatever it may be, I think it's important for the other person to show compassion as well, because I have done that for other people as well. Like, there's been a couple times where I've been scheduled an interview and an hour beforehand, someone's like, I can't because I've had a mental breakdown and I think I need to take the night. And I'm just like, take it. Like, don't force yourself to do something and take it. Because again, I'm not you. And second of all, I want you to be doing your best. So I'm going to show you that compassion, because what? Is it worth getting mad at the person when something is out of their control?
And also, being that compassionate person, it might seem like something simple to just tell somebody to take the night, but that means so much to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that is so important. I completely agree with that.
So yeah. All right. Into the final questions, because I feel like we could talk so much more on this topic. Where can everyone find you?
So best place to find me is on Instagram at Adventures of Eva Bell, at the Philly Women's Collective, and at Eva Bell Media Management.
And this will also be in the show notes, guys. So if you don't remember that all, it's okay.
It's a lot. And my names are all really long, which was poor planning on my part.
Well, sometimes it happens. What's a book, resource, podcast you would recommend to the audience?
Right now I've been obsessing over Dax Shepard's podcast. It's called Armchair Experts or something along those lines. He interviews different experts on all of these like random things, and they have like 2-hour long conversations, just about their lives, about their careers, Some of them are medical professionals. They talk about different things. One I listened to last week was he talked to Dr. Phil.
Oh.
And just like about his life and about him growing up and what he went through and stuff. And it was really interesting to listen to.
Okay. Cool. What would you say is your bravest moment?
Hosting my first event with the Philly Women's Collective.
Why?
That was me really putting myself out there publicly for the first time. I couldn't hide behind our Facebook group or our Instagram. I had to be a host. I had to give a speech. We had 40 women show up, which was not what I was expecting. And it was absolutely amazing. But I've never really been more scared of anything.
That's awesome. And the final question, what is your definition of brave?
I think it's following through and doing something no matter how scared you are of doing it.
I love that. That's actually a really good one.
I kind of tied in. That's how I define the word fearless, which is something I picked up when I studied abroad. This guy at this camp I was staying in Borneo said something about it. And he told me I was like really afraid of sleeping because there was like a pit viper next to my little hut. And I'm not a big snake person.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
I think he just wanted me to go to bed and not sleep like in the little like guest hut or whatever, the like common hut. And, he told me about like being fearless isn't not being afraid, but it's being able to overcome that fear and achieve something. Mm-hmm. And I kind of tie that in with being brave too.
Well, that's a beautiful definition. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Evie.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Wow, so did I. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.